Well, our postman has arrived, so we're ready to hear what he's got to say to us. So, Kirsty, do you want to share some of Paul's letter with us?
From Paul and Timothy, servant of Jesus Christ, to all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus, who lives in Philippi, and to your overseas and deacons, grace and peace to you from our God, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. My God will ease his wonderful rich in Christ Jesus to give you everything you need. Glory to our God and Father forever and ever. Amen. Great is of God's people in Christ. God's people will are with me.
Kirsty, thank you so much for doing our reading today, and thank you to all our readers, to all our postmen who've helped us through the series on Philippians, because today is our last week in Philippians. What an amazing book. Haven't we learned so much together? And the theme we're looking at particularly this morning is joy in sharing our lives. So we're going to have a look at three different aspects of sharing, starting by thinking about sharing what we have, and how we can share our lives and who we are. And we're going to look at the example of Paul and of Jesus. Now, at the end of Alison's talk on giving last week, she talked about the fact that as Christians, we believe that all that we have comes from God. And if that is the case, it doesn't really belong to us anyway. So these things we need to hold lightly with open hands. And this is what we do when we share. Now, I've spent quite a lot of time with toddlers who generally find it quite hard to share. I often go and reassure mums that toddling, it's okay. These toddler groups are great places. Children have to learn to share somewhere. And I love these toddler rules, which I think are just about to come up on the screen. They sum it up very well. I'm not sure if you can see those. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. It's mine. That's what you hear a lot with little ones. Holding on to things tightly. Toddlers have a really tight grip when they want to have. But thankfully, this phase does pass. Now, we know that the letter to the Philippians is like a thank you letter that Paul has sent to thank the Philippian church for the gift of money that they sent to him during his time in prison. Not only that, but they send Epaphroditus as well to encourage Paul. And in that reading that Kirsty's just read to us, Paul writes, to all the saints, the whole church have been involved in some way. Now, it was in our network groups a couple of weeks ago that I was talking to Numa down here, and he was telling me about something that he and Seiki did that was rather special. Boys, are you going to join me up here? Or are you going to... Right, so can you tell everybody... Turn around so we can see you. Tell us your name.
Mm.
you take your hand off there, we can hear you. How old are you?
Four.
You're four, and your name is?
Stakey.
And your name is?
Luma, and I'm six.
Okay, now, boys, you have birthdays that are quite close together, don't you? Have you just had a birthday?
Not really.
Not really. Okay, so I would like, we were talking about what happened when it was your party, because you had a party that you shared, didn't you? So you had a party together because your birthdays are quite close. And tell everybody what you and Fakey decided to do.
We decided to give me some money for the charities that I choose them.
So you were going to invite some guests to your party, but you decided that rather than having presents, you were going to ask people to bring some money that you were going to donate to a charity. And what charity did you choose?
RSPCA and Seiki to Save the Children.
So you chose RSPCA and Seiki chose Save the Children. So you invited people to come and join in with your party, but what they brought you've given away. Yes. You definitely did, because your mummy told me. £222 people brought, and you gave it all away.
For each charity.
For the charities. So I think that's an amazing thing to do. Well done, boys. That's really generous, and that's holding out, giving away what you had, wasn't it? So thank you. And let's pray, Lord, that that seed of generosity in these boys is nurtured and grows as they grow up. So that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, boys. Oh, I think all that sugar before was... So if we move on to think about sharing our lives and who we are, there are some ideas to help us, particularly when we look at the church in Philippi, and we read a little bit about the background to that in Acts 16. And there are things that we will recognise. There are journeys, there are people's homes, there's food, and there are letters. So Paul journeys with his friends. I brought my walking boots to help us remember that. Paul travelled to Philippi on his second missionary journey, and he shares his journey with others, Silas, Luke, and Timothy. Have you ever been on a journey or a walk with family or friends? Perhaps you walk to school. Put your hand up if you walk to school. People walk to school, yeah, or to work. Maybe you share lifts to clubs and activities that you go to. Maybe you share the car on your way to work. There's joy, isn't there, in finding people that we can walk with, travel with, journey with, as we share our lives and experiences as we go. Paul stays in people's homes. Lydia is the first person in Philippi to believe, and she persuades Paul and his travelling companions to come and stay at her home. I don't think it looked quite like this, but in her house. Lydia wanted time. She wanted time to hear more about Jesus. And she and her household were baptised and became the beginnings of the church there in Philippi. When we open our homes up to people and invite them in and spend time with them, we're sharing our lives and who we are with them. Now, going away together is another great way of getting to know people, especially if you're camping. Camping is fun, it says here. Life under canvas. There is no escape. But it is a great way to get to know one another, to be together and to share a common experience. Now, as we mentioned last week, New Wine is moving to Peterborough this year. If you're not sure about camping for a whole week, then coming over to Peterborough for a day to come and see what it's like will be quite feasible. So if you'd like to find out any more, then please come and speak to any of us. Pop your hand up if you've been before to New Wine. And we'd love to share with you what it's like and tell you more about it. So Paul also shares meals with other people. In Philippi, after a dramatic release from jail, the jailer invites Paul and Silas to his home for a meal. The jailer and all of his household want to hear more about Jesus. And of course, Paul is delighted to share the good news with them. The jailer and all his household are baptized too. Sitting around a table together is a great way of getting to know people. Do you have people round for tea? Do you invite friends round to your house? Earlier in this series, when we were back in chapter 2 of Philippians, Chrissy asked the question, what did you do together with others this week? And I was sitting next to Leo, who is about 7 or 8. And he shared how much he had enjoyed the shared lunch that we'd had in church. It had been Diana's, the week that Diana left, and we had that leaving lunch over in the centre. He said, we were all sitting around the tables, eating and talking. I loved it. And he was my inspiration for today. Well, that's why we're sitting around tables today. Because we're not just talking about doing it, we're actually doing it. Paul stays in touch with others using letters. There we go. I wonder what he would have thought about social media. Social media provides us with an incredible platform, doesn't it, to stay in touch more easily with those that we know, maybe who are far away. And it puts us in touch with people that maybe we don't know yet or that we might never meet. I think as a society we're still working out how best to use this incredible opportunity. And we must be responsible and careful and wise in how we use it. Paul is in touch with many people, but with Timothy, he shares a very close bond. I have no other person like him, says Paul in chapter 2. Like Paul, Timothy cares deeply about the Philippian church, and one day he'll return there. And both men, older man Paul, the younger man Timothy, are both servants of Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than knowing Jesus in their lives. And they want to share that good news that they have at every opportunity. But before we move on, just have a look around. There are a lot of us here, aren't there, today? We're one big church family. And we won't be able to get to know everybody in the same way. Some people we will get to know better than others, and we need time to invest in those relationships. Sunday mornings are great, but they don't provide a lot of time, especially now the council have put parking. You can only pay for a 2-hour ticket. But we do have opportunities in the week through small groups and ministries, or inviting people round, doing things together. If you're not plugged into a small group or anything, please come and talk to us at the end and we'll help you find another space where you can fellowship together. Now, I've got a fridge in my kitchen. That's good. And on it, there's a magnet and it says this. The world is changed by your example, not your opinion. We're going to think for a moment about the example of Jesus. He journeys with others. He goes into people's homes and shares them. He has meals with them. and he welcomed everyone. During our time in Philippians, we've challenged you to memorise these very famous verses from chapter 2. Has anybody been doing that? I'm still trying to conquer the last bit. The first person to come and tell me the whole thing, if she could remember it, was Ruth. Okay. Ruth has been able to memorise all those verses from chapter 2. And she's going to do it for us now. Okay. All right, Ruth.
Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in a human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11.
Word perfect. Wow. Well
done. Ruth, this is for you. Well done. And if any other people have remembered, or children, if you've remembered that, come and tell us. And Ruth, I pray that all those words that you've learned will sink deep into your heart, and that you'll be able to learn other passages of Scripture too, because it will be really important. You'll be able to draw on those in your life. So thank you so much for sharing that with us this morning. So if we just think about verse 6 there, it says, who, that's Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Or in other versions it says grasped, that is to be held tightly. But he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus came to serve. A servant with hands outstretched, hands that are open. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as a baby to share life amongst us. The good news of Easter is that Jesus is alive today and he wants to share life with us just now, just as we are. To share our life with its ups and downs, the ordinary, the extraordinary, the tiredness, the busyness, the joys and the sorrows. Jesus wants to share our lives and to share with us his treasure of love and grace. He knows us, he knows each circumstance we face, and we can know him too. He will never turn us away when we come to him. And with his help, we can share his treasure with others, just like Paul did. We will shine like stars. Now, Debbie and Keith are actually here this week, but last weekend, Keith was in hospital. Keith, it's great. Keith Goodwin, are they over there? I've lost sight of them. It's great to have you back with us. Oh, there they are. They've moved. Debbie had come into the office the week before last, and Keith had been taken into hospital. And she was really concerned about him. She'd not slept much. She was just about to go down to see him. Last Sunday, I spoke to Debbie, and she'd written this. The wonderful people here at St. Giles have supported, prayed, and encouraged both Keith and me this week. Not only have some gone to the hospital to visit him, for which I thank you from the bottom of my heart, I have received at least one call a day asking how I am doing and if there's anything I need, for which I feel so supported and loved. I cannot thank you all enough for your prayerful support at this time. And Keith, you had a procedure on Monday, didn't you? You were back home Tuesday. And you say you're feeling good. There's more to come, but we keep praying and supporting you and Debbie. And thank you to everybody, because I know that's not the only story of love and support in this fellowship. I know too, I've experienced the love and the support of this fellowship. So in our walking and our sharing life with one another, let's continue that encouragement and support. As we walk and share lives with our friends who don't know Jesus yet, let's pray that there will be opportunities for us to share him and to shine like stars. Paul made the most of every opportunity he had to talk about Jesus, even in Caesar's household. He was aware of the wonderful riches of God that he had at his disposal to help him in every circumstance, even in prison. So to finish, let us try to hold the things that we have lightly and share with others. Let's find time to share who we are with one another. Let's follow the example of Jesus and look for opportunities to share his treasure with others. And let's give glory to God, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all.